Welcome to the Mormon Channel Relief Society program, a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Sharon Eubank, a member of the General Relief Society Board, and with me today is Sister Julie B. Beck, who's the General Relief Society President. Once again, we're glad that you came to the Mormon Channel to have this discussion.
Thank you, Sharon.
Today we're talking about visiting teaching as a topic, and specifically about questions that Mormon Channel viewers and listeners have submitted. So thanks for being willing to take questions. I'm going to admit that I have not always had a good testimony about visiting teaching. In fact, in my life, I have been a poor visiting teacher. And as I think about the reasons why, it's because it felt fake, it felt manufactured. You know, you call up somebody and you say, I'm your best friend. And you sit on their couch and you read a message that's been manufactured out of a magazine.
And then when you're released, you never talk to them again.
That's it, then it's over. And I've never felt comfortable about that. And it wasn't until I started paying attention to some of the messages that Relief Society was putting apart that I realized that's not the right way to do visiting teaching. What is the right way to be a visiting teacher?
A visiting teacher is a minister. She is the Lord's hands. She's his heart. This is a way that she fulfills her covenant to always remember the Savior. We don't often think of visiting teaching in those ways. We think, well, I can remember the Savior in my own private life. I don't need to be assigned to be a minister. But the Lord actually did assign disciples to watch over each other, and that pattern is an ancient pattern. It was done in the early restored church, and it continues today. It's always been there. Somehow we've built up our own traditions and an unwritten list of so-called requirements that have to fit into the paradigm of visiting teaching that don't fit at all with the idea of watching over and caring for somebody. Relief Society's purposes are to help increase faith and personal righteousness, strengthen families and homes, and seek out and help those who are in need. We should all be able to carry those purposes around in our minds. It's not hard. Faith, family, and relief. That's it. Those are our purposes. And everything we do fits into that. So we're here to increase faith, not just our own faith, but the faith of other children of our Heavenly Father. That's visiting teaching. You're there to help increase faith in that sister's home and in her family and in her life, and to help her righteousness increase. Then we're there to strengthen families and homes, not just our own home, but all families and homes. And we have a specific assignment for a specific sister in a specific home who needs strengthening. Everybody needs that. And that can be done through strengthening her faith and her righteousness, but somehow we've got to help strengthen that home and leave it better when we leave. And then to seek out and help those who are in need. We get to change places in those chairs a lot of the needy. All of us have a chance in our life to be the needy and the strong one. And we're the ones seeking out and helping. So visiting teaching is the purpose of Relief Society in action. It's our discipleship. It's also a way to help the bishop manage his storehouse or look after his flock. So we're not only the Lord's hands and heart, but we're the bishop's eyes and ears and the servants on behalf of the bishop. How many times have you heard people say, I wish the bishop would do something about that? He's one man with a family and a job and a lot of responsibilities, and he is supposed to call on the visiting teachers and the home teachers to help him take care of the flock. If we can start getting our minds around visiting teaching as a ministry of that kind, that it isn't putting on a skirt, holding a book in your left arm, knocking on a door, and sitting formally on a couch with somebody, having a discussion about something that isn't relevant to what's happening in that home, then we'll start to get someplace. We need to think of the Lord's patterns.
I want to ask you about this because lots of times there's a discussion about what counts in visiting teaching. If I do this, does this count? If I do that, does this count? Is this half counting? And yet what I think I just heard you say is it's all about what that individual person needs. It's whatever the Holy Ghost tells you about the relationship.
It's the caring that counts. When I get in front of the Lord and I make an accounting of my life, I do not want him, I know he's not going to ask me, did you have 100% checking off a visiting teaching? He's going to ask me about how much I cared. And how much I went to him for his help to understand what needs were. He'll know that already. And that's the kind of Achillean I'm the most worried about. I'm worried about how the Lord sees me and my assignment more than I'm worried about what other people in the ward think. If I can be straight with the Lord, then I feel good about it. This is a ministry he cares about. This is the one place in the church where he asks us to take care of each other one-on-one. A lot of other settings are meetings and groups where we're being taken care of as a group, but he ministered one by one. This is a test. This is a test, women. Are you willing to follow the Savior and do what he said when he said, "Come, follow me, that which ye have seen me do"?
I think it's one of the few things in our lives that come up over and over and over again that it doesn't matter at all what you say. It's all about what you do.
And people know that. And I know that. I know if somebody's dropped me, if they've been released or reassigned and they've dropped me, okay, the ministry ended if it ever started. It's my responsibility to think of this in the ways the Lord would think of it. And the Relief Society Presidency has the authority to assign us any way they want. If this is a student Relief Society ward and they say apartment 201 takes care of apartment 101, so be it. The Lord can inspire us even if we're assigned in that way. So the Relief Society Presidency is authorized to manage and apportion out the work of the ministers in Relief Society. And whether or not you think it was done in a super inspired way or not, it's still a valid assignment. And the Lord cares about that person you were assigned to watch over, even if it was done on a computer. They're still an individual to him. The computer or the organizing is simply a vehicle to sharing out the workload. And any sister can love any other sister if they ask the Lord how to do that.
If it's so individual and you can get revelation and it can be done lots of different ways, why is it so hard?
Well, because it's important. Any important work is always opposed. Anything where we can make a lot of difference for good, the adversary will oppose. So, of course, we have a lot of issues. So I've had one cute Relief Society president who said, "We just sat down one Sunday and we acknowledged our issues. We wrote a big list on the board. What are the barriers to being a good ministering type of visiting teacher?" And it ran the gamut, everything from not being able to get babysitters to can't coordinate schedules to being shy to having been offended before to being told we don't want to see you. There are a lot of issues. And at that point, she taught me something. She said, "We realize sitting there as a Relief Society discussing this and what the Lord really would like us to do, and we're all owning our issues, we decided the Lord didn't really care that much about our issues. He really cares more about his people and who's caring for them. And it's our responsibility individually to get over the issues, to find the solutions. There's always going to be an issue." With whoever it might be, your partner is not cooperative, or it doesn't matter what the issue is. Our job is to go to the Lord and say, "So this is a barrier for me. How do I scale the barrier and solve that?" And he'll help you. The Lord is mightier than all the earth. He's even bigger than your issue.
We get used to visiting teaching because we talk about it a lot. We talk about home teaching a lot, and it's present. It's a calling for almost every single sister in the church. But sometimes I think we don't see what a miraculous system it kind of is because it's kind of every day and we get used to it. I was giving a group of Indonesian men and women from they're actually from one of the states in Indonesia, and they were saying, "Tell us about the women's program of the church." So we were going through, and we started talking about this watch care, this visiting teaching where two women from the neighborhood visit two other women and find out what they need and how they're doing. And they stopped the whole thing and they said, "Hold on. You go into their homes on a regular basis and you have this one-on-one individual contact?" We said, "Yes." They said, "Well, what if they need something?" We said, "Then we take that back to the congregation and we work on that." And their eyes were just huge. They were just blown away. They said, this is a fantastic system. And I started to see it through their eyes, and I realized I'm not paying as enough attention mm-hmm. to visiting teaching as maybe I should be. Because here's government groups that are going out trying to figure out how do we make individual families stronger.
And this is it. Preston Irene said the only system which would work across a world so large and a church so varied is this system with individual ministers close to the people at hand. The Lord figured this out a long time ago, and we've become so used to it that we're almost passé about it, but it really is an inspired system of watch care that isn't replicated anywhere else. And as you think of the church growing exponentially, think of the church being 20 times bigger mm-hmm. in the years to come. What is the most scalable thing to take care of individual people? It's this. There is no program that will ever be invented that will be as efficient and effective as this if we use it.
Because you're at the General Relief Society mm-hmm. level, you sit and you get to see what is effective, what works all over the world. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things? Because it is a barrier, and people are trying to figure out, how do I scale this barrier?
Inspired people figure it out. They know what to do. I'll point you to some hints in Daughters in My Kingdom that might help us. One of the barriers is knowing how to talk to people to engage yourself in their lives. And this one is on page 115 in the English edition of Daughters of My Kingdom, and it gives visiting teachers questions they can ask. Rather than saying, if there's anything you ever need, call us. What a dumb question that is. Who's going to call somebody who says that? 1 in 2,000 people. But if we say, what concerns do you have or what worries do you have? It's harder to evade that one. And you can have a more honest conversation. If we ask people what questions they have about the gospel or what they're studying in the gospel and what they're learning in the gospel. Now, even if you're speaking to a topic on their visiting teaching page, what questions do you have about this is a lot more engaging than doing something by rote. If you would say, would you allow us to help you with, and then fill in the blank. I love the teaching we have from Mormon. Mm-hmm. He was a gifted child, and he was quick to observe. And I've prayed for that gift. That is a spiritual gift. As I've traveled around the world, and I land in a country, I'm always praying, Heavenly Father, help me see what you need me to see, and learn what you need me to learn, and feel what you need me to feel. I do that with the sisters I'm watching over. Help me to see what you need me to see and feel what you need me to feel and learn from that sister. And then you'll see things and you'll say, she needs help with this, or that's a problem for her. And you can say, would you allow us to help with this? That is a lot harder to evade, and it makes us better ministers.
I'm going to play an audio clip from a listener who phoned in her question. I want you to hear this question because it has to do with what we're talking about.
Hi, my name is Daisy Clark. I'm from Florida. How can I become a more effective visiting teacher and help others to do the same? I know it is so important that we are always striving to be better at this.
Okay. Thank you, Daisy, for that great question. Recently, I gave a talk in the General Relief Society meeting that gave three questions for visiting teachers to ponder. This is your training. It's important for the sisters you watch over to be able to answer these questions. Can the sisters you're assigned to watch over say, my visiting teacher helps me grow spiritually? What are you doing that would help her answer that in the affirmative? I don't know what you're doing. But to be effective, you would have to then go to the Lord and get some revelation, study the scriptures, think about that sister, pray for her, and get some ideas of how you're helping her grow spiritually. Mm. And if she doesn't think you're doing that, then what are you going to change so that then becomes a positive for her? The second question is that I know my visiting teacher cares deeply about me and my family. Can she say that honestly, or does she think you really don't care? If you want her to answer in the affirmative, and you do, then there are some things you will begin to get revelation about and get help with that you will do so that she knows you care deeply about her and her family. The third question is, if I have problems, I know my visiting teacher will take action without waiting to be invited. That's important. Do you know her well enough? Does she trust you enough that if something came up, she would call you or you would do something for her without being assigned? If you heard of a need, that you would take action without waiting to be invited? What are you going to change in your life to be the kind of visiting teacher that will allow the people you're assigned to watch over to answer those questions in the affirmative?
I love those three questions. And as I think about them, there's two ends of this spectrum, because the first part is trying to get people to be motivated to take action on those three things that you're talking about. The other end of the spectrum where people struggle is, how do I know when I've done enough? Because I feel guilty about it. No matter how much I do, I never think that it's enough and that the Lord will be pleased with my effort. So I'm going to read a quote from a sister who sent this into the channel, and her name is Jill. But this is the kernel of her question. She's saying, how do I know when I've done enough and it's acceptable? She said, I feel that I'm not being an effective visiting teacher because of my long-term health problems. I'm not able to get out and visit my sisters, and all I'm doing at the moment is writing them notes and giving them messages and telling them about church events. I sometimes bear my testimonies, and I'm giving them my phone number if there's anything I can do. Am I doing enough, and are there other things that I could be doing?
Okay. So those three questions are good questions for Jill. Again, we have barriers. We all have barriers that would be our issue. And so she's admitting an issue. I'm homebound, mm-hmm. and I can't get out to do things other people can do. So is that an insurmountable issue? No. You can see already the Lord is inspiring her with ways to watch over and minister to somebody else. And how Jill does it can be just as inspired as how somebody else does it who can go in every day to that home. I know of sisters in the Alaska Bush Branch who live in an area of about 1,000 miles, living in about 50 little villages scattered around on rivers and streams. They never meet each other, but they're assigned to watch over and care for each other. How are they going to do that if they'll never even see each other face to face? It takes a lot of inspiration to know how to get to know someone you will never meet face to face. But they do it. And they can do it, and they provide that network of strength for each other. So, again, we often say we've developed some of these traditions that I've done a good job if I can check it off. If I reported, I went. How does the Spirit confirm what you did? You feel good about that? Is the Spirit happy with that? Are you feeling guilty even if you went into the house? The only true measure of success is if the Spirit affirms what we do. And if the people we're watching over can answer those three questions I gave you, that you're helping somebody grow spiritually, they know you care about them and their family, and if they have a need, you'll help in the best way you're able to. So, Jill, you can be as successful as anyone.
Good. You're listening to the Mormon Channel Relief Society program, where Sister Julie B. Beck, the General Relief Society President, is talking with us and answering your specific questions about visiting teaching today. There are lots of sisters who have written in and said, what do I do if I'm supposed to visit somebody and they don't want to be visited? You know, all these logistical questions about problems that come up, but specifically about people that we're assigned to visit that they don't want necessarily to have a visit. How do we minister to them?
Okay, so here's a teaching from Matthew chapter 5. No one teaches this principle better than the Savior. And this is some of the most powerful teaching he gave the people. And this is Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. And when he said, I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good for them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. I hope that's not happening. But some people don't want to be loved, and he's talking about this. In verse 45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans do this? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, I love that, where he says, ye are therefore commanded, in the Joseph Smith translation, to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And that means we love the people who often don't feel lovable to us or don't seem lovable. They are to the Lord. He loves them all. He knows them all, and he can teach us how to love them. We have to ask him. There is more he would share with us if we were willing to learn. And he can't teach us about those people if we aren't willing to learn about them and know about them and understand their struggles and what makes them tick. So it takes a little more effort than stopping by with a handout and saying, well, I don't really believe in letter routes. I hear of some wards that say, well, I'm assigned to send letters to all the people who don't want visiting teachers. What kind of a ministry is that? Do not even the publicans the same? Mm-hmm. How can you live up to the commandment to be perfect in caring for those the Lord wants you to care for?
What you've just said is so powerful. I'm thinking about that because it doesn't matter at all then whether they're willing to accept you or not. You have the opportunity to pray for them and to seek information through the Holy Ghost in order to serve them. And whether they accept you coming into their
house
or not,
doesn't matter if they love you back. He's saying it doesn't matter if they love you back. It doesn't matter if they're pretty or popular. That isn't what he's concerned about. If you only talk to the people who are your friends, that's what the publicans do. You're a disciple of Jesus Christ. You were baptized in the name of his Son. You take the sacrament every week and you promise to remember him. This is a way to do that. And this is one of the best ways we have as people who've made covenants to keep that covenant. I can't think of a better way to keep that covenant, to remember him, than to loving some of his children, particularly those who aren't interested in being loved. Again, in Daughters of My Kingdom, on page 123 in the English copy, there's a whole list of how to love and watch over and strengthen a sister, using some of those ideas to just stay in frequent contact and help her and teach her and inspire her. But praying for her and her family is at the top of the list. Mm-hmm. That is a great service.
Before we move on, I just want to comment on something that you said, which I just find energizing. This idea seems to be relentless. It doesn't matter what you profess. What shows your faith, the depth of your faith, is what you do. And visiting teaching and home teaching is sort of a relentless test about that. What do you do for the people you've been asked to help?
It never goes away. That's the problem with it. We are list checkers. We like to get things done, and so we do things. And I learned years ago, I'd do something for someone I was assigned to watch over, and then I'd think, well, now I've got to do something else. Mm-hmm. It's always the next thing. And when this thing is done, then it's every day. It's daily. It's like worrying about a member of the family. It doesn't go away. It doesn't mean that you have to do something for someone every day. You don't have to visit every day. But they should be in your prayers daily, and you should be open to being able to help daily if you need to. Some people have a lot of needs, and some have very few. It's just the idea that this isn't just 20 minutes a month. Mm-hmm. It's an always responsibility.
Alyssa has called in and left a comment about visiting teaching in a college situation. They're more transient. They have sometimes different issues. Their lives are more mobile. So let's listen to her question.
Hi, my name is Alyssa Peterson. I'm from Fresno, California. And my question was, how could I do visiting teaching as a college student in a single adult ward without feeling like I'm intruding on other people's lives?
Thank you, Alyssa. I hope with everything we've talked about that you have some ideas about that right now. But we need to understand that this is a sacred assignment. And again, I review this is, you're there on an errand from the Lord and the bishop and authorized by your presidency, who operates under authority and under the bishop's, the keys that the bishop has. And this isn't about intruding. This is about caring. It isn't about being nosy and sharing information that's gossipy. This is about caring and learning to care. If you're in a college ward, you're with a lot of people who are new at this. You don't really know how to do it. But you've been making friends all of your life, Alyssa. You've been caring about people for years. You just start applying this now to people who you wouldn't naturally be drawn to form friendships with. You take this on as a covenant-keeping responsibility, and then the Lord guides how that ministry happens. I have a sense that there is so much more power in the Sisters of the Church than they are tapping into. Joseph Smith said, live up to your privilege. We have a privilege here of being connected to the Lord and actually learning how well He knows us. What we don't understand is that while He's teaching us about how to help somebody else, He's letting us know, I'm helping them because I send you and I know who you are. You will never have a more affirming experience in your life of the Lord's understanding of you and how He loves you than when you're seeking to watch over another of His children. If you're trying to be built up yourself and know if the Lord loves you, if He's answering your prayers, start trying to help Him to help somebody else and take it out of the realm of your own life. And you will receive an outpouring of help for yourself that He won't give you in another way. As long as you're focused on yourself and what the Lord's going to give to you, He won't help you in the same way. He'll give you little drops and dribbles. But when you focus outward, He will pour out His Spirit upon you, and you will feel the revelation in your life, and then you'll say, wait a minute, He knows me. And that will be the most strengthening power in this.
Is it ever appropriate to go alone, to just have one person visit one person?
The important thing about visiting teaching is that we minister, number one. And two, we need to think in inspired ways. Sometimes we say having a companion means we have to always occupy the same space. Having a companion is a safety, but a companion is also your helper in watching over somebody. That means you work as a companionship in a team to strengthen somebody. Now think about that for just a minute. You don't have to be in the same space always to work as a companionship to minister to other people. That is an important concept. That means if I'm inspired to do something and my companion isn't with me, that's okay. Mm-hmm. And if she's inspired to do something and I'm not with her, that's okay. And then if we coordinate and talk about that, that's okay. We have some flexibility here. We have some guidelines in the handbook that says, ideally, we go and minister together. But ideally is us working together. Sometimes, however, we have one visiting teacher who is a strong one, and she's assigned a sister who needs some help and strengthening. And part of that responsibility is to help the companion also be strengthened and learn what her duty and responsibility as a disciple is. So there's a whole dynamic here that is bigger than checking off a list. The answer is yes, you can go alone if that's the best way to minister.
This is a question from Andrea. Let's listen to this.
Hi, Sister Beck. My name is Andrea Destin. I'm from Farmington, Utah, and I have a question about visiting teaching. I'd just like your advice on how to approach a less active sister that you're visiting teaching in your ward.
Well, a less active sister is a daughter of God. And I would imagine if you got to know her and you asked the Lord about her, He'd give you a whole list of needs she has, things she needs to learn. How is her faith? He'll teach you about that. How can you increase faith and personal righteousness in her life? How can you strengthen her family and her home? How can you seek out and help her with her needs? If you go to the Lord and ask those questions, you'll start to get ideas. If you write them down and act on them, you'll get more. He's not going to give you more than you will act upon. So if you have a less active sister, He will help you. In the Visiting Teaching message page, every month, we have some training for you. And there are two kinds of questions. The first one is about strengthening yourself as a disciple. So in this January 2012 issue that I'm holding here, it says in the first question, what am I doing to help my sisters feel that I am a friend who loves and cares for them? That's a thought question for you. If you don't have any ideas about that, now's the time to get some ideas. What are you doing to help those sisters know? That's going to improve you as a disciple. The second question is teaching you how to reach out. How can I become better at watching over and caring for others? If you take that to the Lord and ponder about that, you'll get some ideas. So much of this has to do with going to the Lord to have His help. You can't do it without Him.
Can you give, as this maybe as we wrap up this discussion, a story or an example of somebody you know, that how did they get a testimony of visiting teaching? What happened for you or for somebody that you know that actually changed their heart about visiting teaching?
The change comes when you have an experience that is different than an experience you've had before. When you, and it needs to be you yourself, I would say the visiting teacher has to take the responsibility to say, I want a different experience than the one I've been having that will help me have a testimony of visiting teaching. I think of a story of a young mother I know who lived far away from her family. And she told me that her husband went out of town. She had a number of little children she was expecting in a high-risk pregnancy. And all of a sudden, they all got sick. And the sickest one was the mother. And the baby was at risk. And this young little family wasn't eating, they weren't being cared for, and the mother was not even able to really get to the phone. Until finally her mother, calling and calling, was able to get one of the younger children to answer the phone and take it to the mother. The mother said, where are your visiting teachers? And the situation was dire enough that the mother then called around and found some help and got people in there to take care of this family. Well, it turns out that this woman, when it sorted out, had been reported as having visiting teachers. But she said, I don't even know who my visiting teachers are. So somewhere along the line, whoever her visiting teachers were, they'd been talking to her at church and saying, how are you doing? And thinking that was fine and checking it off. But when the moment of truth came, when I have a need and who's going to take action, there was no one who she knew to call, no one there to help. So the Relief Society president, in visiting with her, was talking about her needs. She says, let me guess, you've been trying to match me up with friends and peers of my own age. She says, yes, I have. She says, I can make my own friends. I live far away from my mother, and I have this young family, and I need different kind of teaching. I need a grandmother. I need someone to do for me the things my mother would do if she were here. And the light went on for that Relief Society president, and assignments were changed, and that family received a grandmother that would come and encourage and teach. And she was a retired sister. She showed how to plant a garden. She was willing to babysit for this woman to be able to go to the temple. She said, the greatest service my visiting teacher does for me is take care of my children so I can get to the temple every month. That is something we should report. What better thing could we do for a young mother than to say, I'll watch your children so you can get to the temple? Those are the kinds of things we would be able to do if we would think in more inspired ways.
I was listening to the Mormon Channel at 3 o'clock in the morning. I woke up, and so I just plugged it in on my phone, and I was listening to this. And I think about all the women all over the world who listen to these programs. They're jogging, or they're in their car, or they're, you know, it's the middle of the night, and they can't sleep. If you could say one thing about visiting teaching that they're going to pay attention to, if you could speak directly to all those women like me lying in my bed, what do you want to say?
Sisters, get over yourselves. Just take care of it. Take care of each other. This is a perfect system of watch care. And the Lord gave it to us. He trusted us to take care of each other. And we can do this. We're the Relief Society of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. This is not a big deal. This is totally doable. And I believe we can completely change the feeling and attitude about this across the church in a month if we chose to. And we stopped rolling our eyes and stopped shrugging our shoulders, and we just said, I'm a disciple, and I am up to this. And the Lord will help me. And it'll be fun. It'll be joyful. And I'll feel affirmed and I'll feel happy. We can take care of this.
Sister Beck, I don't know how to thank you enough for taking the time. There's not very many opportunities when we get to hear a General Relief Society president talk about everyday things for the church. And so you come every month and you participate in this. We're so grateful for that. For your time.
Thank you. It's my joy. Thank you, Sharon.
You've been listening to the Mormon Channel Relief Society program, a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more information on this program, visit our website at mormonchannel.org. Or to ask Sister Beck a question, you can email us at themormonchannel@ldschurch.org.